May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Several months ago, a parishioner noted that having been a lifelong Episcopalian, she didn't think that she'd ever heard a sermon about hell. In all likelihood, today's gospel might have made you wince a bit with its talk of the devil, reapers, burning with fire, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a little hellfire and brimstone for most contemporary Episcopalians. We might even find ourselves saying, well, we're not like those other Christians that talk about this stuff too much. But perhaps we've lost something by avoiding these passages. Because when Jesus speaks about judgment, he's not trying to frighten us. He's telling us that evil will not have the last word. First off, I want to point out that this is a very realistic parable. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, and it's not a pristine field, blossoming with the 30, 60, or 100-fold crops in the good soil that we heard about last week. Rather, it's a mixture of wheat and weeds. What began with good soil and seeds now is seemingly tainted. We might expect that if the kingdom of heaven is indeed present, those weeds would not be there. But in this parable, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is in contested territory. This reality pushes back on both naive optimism that everything will just get better on its own, and our despair that evil has already won. So we begin by telling the truth. The kingdom of heaven is here and now in our world, where wheat and weeds, good and evil, are mixed together. Within this parable, I strongly relate to the servants who see the weeds and respond, let's get rid of them. I'm not much of a gardener or a farmer, but I know enough that you don't want weeds around and that it can be very satisfying to yank them out. Certainly, we all fall prey to the temptation to readily identify the bad or evil people and imagine a world without them. That impulse is everywhere in our politics, our communities, our churches. We can easily imagine that the evil and the weeds are over there somewhere. But evil is not only individual bad behavior, but a real power that can enslave us. We can and do participate in systems of evil and sin even as we resist them. We should absolutely oppose injustice and evil in the world, but we must also have humility in doing so, knowing that we have a limited perspective. The Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor wrote in her book, Leaving Church, to be a priest is to serve a God who never stops calling people to do more justice and love more mercy, and simultaneously to serve people who 9 times out of 10 are just looking for a safe place to rest. I know you don't come to church to hear about a litany of things that are wrong with the world. You can turn on the news for that. But Jesus never asks us to pretend that the weeds aren't real. Jesus isn't asking for us to turn our faces away from the people shot and killed in recent weeks during immigration enforcement operations and the families left to grieve. We come into this space and time every week carrying the weight and the grief of the weeds in the world. The poverty we see, the impacts of the changing climate, the places of war and violence that we lift up in prayer, all of the places in the world and in our own lives where death seems to have the upper hand, that leads us to cry out to God to make it right. And that cry is where I find myself wrestling with God. God, why don't you act now? Why let the weeds keep growing? Why not pull them up and set the world right? We often hear judgment as a frightening word. But imagine a world without judgment. Imagine a world where tyrants are never called to account, where the powerful always get away with violence, where the dead never receive justice, where every wound simply becomes another fact of history. That would not be mercy. It would be abandonment. The promise that God will judge the world is not bad news. It is good news for everyone who has ever cried, "How long, O Lord?" You have the power to pull up those weeds and destroy them with fire, to set the world right once and for all. The Greek word for weeds in this parable refers to darnel, a poisonous ryegrass that looks very similar to wheat until it ripens. So God's slowness to act is not indifference or weakness, it is mercy. God delays God's judgment because God is patient, certainly more patient than I am. God is God, I am not, thank God for that. God's judgment is coming, but mercy and repentance are still possible. And if we're honest, we know that the line between wheat and weeds doesn't simply run between good people or bad people. It runs through every human heart. I have weeds I wish God would pull from my heart, and I imagine that you do too. Pride, resentment, fear. God is also patient with each and every one of us. St. Paul gives us another image for exactly this reality. He says that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains. Not dying pains, labor pains. The world hurts because God is bringing something new into being. Paul also writes, "We hope for what we do not see. We hope for a world of peace. We hope for a world of flourishing for all people, a world without suffering, even though we cannot see it." But Christian hope is different from optimism. Optimism says everything will work out. The Christian hope says that God is faithful to God's promises, which we see and know in the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. The field of the world is full of both wheat and weeds growing together. And sometimes we can't tell which is which, and sometimes, like someone said to me at coffee hour today, it feels like the weeds are winning. We don't have a God's eye view. But this is not an excuse for inaction or despair. In the world we live in, we are called to refuse to deny the evil in our midst, the evil that erases human dignity and denies the belovedness of God's children. We must also refuse to be consumed by hatred, by the idea that only our perspective is correct. And crucially, we must refuse to give up hope. Because the true judge is God. The true judge is not Pharaoh or Caesar, not presidents or prime ministers, not courts or commentators. The harvest belongs to God, the one whose judgment is perfectly righteous because it is also perfectly merciful. Until that final day, we keep sowing and nurturing the wheat, trusting that the Lord of the harvest has not abandoned the field, that God is bringing something new into being.